Let's take our Bibles this morning, and we want to turn to Psalm 105. We're going to go to the book of Psalm 105, and as we're turning there, we'll have the super church dismissed for the children and nursery there as well. And so we go to Psalm 105, and once you've found this psalm, if you're able to, I'd like you to stand with me. I'd like to read through this beautiful psalm as we look at remembering God's marvelous works. I appreciate that song we just heard. Everything changed in a moment of time. Only God can do that. We can forgive people, but I don't know that we can forgive people in a moment of time. Takes us a while, doesn't it? Not that it's, I mean, we get it from the Lord. But only God forgives instantly. I like that song. It says, even the guilt was taken away. And I'm so glad that the guilt of my sin is gone. I don't have, and not to downplay the forgiveness part, it's very, very important. But I have forgiveness for my sin, but also the guilt is gone. That's what God does. And songs like that just emphasize it so very well. And I'm glad that we have the book of Psalms. And I like to read through this psalm here so you get the whole picture here, and then I'm going to look at just the beginning part of it. But he says here in Psalm 105, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, a lot for your inheritance, when they were but a few in men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, he brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord over his house and ruler over all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, to teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sort of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came and caterpillars and that without number. He did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was no one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Father, as we've seen a little bit of Israel's recall of their history, I pray that you would, Lord, show us how to be thankful. And I'm really glad that I live in the midst of thankful people. I have to be honest, Lord, it's a little challenging to speak on something when I know it's already being very well practiced. So I pray you would help us. I pray you'd encourage everyone who's here today. And you would draw us unto our Savior. Help us to see you, O God, for who you are. And I ask for your Holy Spirit's filling to preach that which you would have this morning in Jesus' name. And amen. Please be seated. We find that thankfulness and gratitude really affects our lives. I was pondering on this earlier, and I thought, what's the opposite of gratitude and thankfulness? What's the opposite? What's the...
Complaining,
right? Because how do we be ungrateful? You know, how does this take place? Obviously, you would say, there's a complaint. So the opposite has its verbal garbage. I use that word when I'm complaining. But when I have thankfulness, I also have something verbal, as we'll see here. He'll be instructing us even as to how we speak. But probably one of the earliest forms of speech that we learn, we would probably say one of the earliest forms of speech that we learn is thankfulness. Am I right? I mean, yeah, it's mama, dada. You know, we go through these things, but you remember, and you may not remember, you being taught as a child to say thank you. How many of you remember you were taught as a child to say thank you? Anybody? Okay, there's four of us. Okay, just about everybody. Saying, yes, we remember. What is it? We had to be taught. It had to come out on purpose. None of us just came into this world saying thank you. It had to be something that had to be shown to us, had to be either lived out in front of us, and let's face it, a lot of times, had to be verbally taught to us. We received something, and we were given words like, now, and what do you say, right? And we said, oh, that's great. No, we said, thank you. Yeah. You know, we didn't say, well, it's about time. You know, there wasn't any of that. It was always gratitude. Your parents were pumping this into you to be thankful. And it's very, very important. Now, gratitude may be a gesture or a group of kind words that we receive from others. Sometimes a person is thankful and they really haven't said anything, but you've just seen it in their body language as well. We know that there is this gratitude. You've seen the moistening of the eye. You've received that hug and you just feel the gratitude. We know that that's there. And these simple exchanges of thankfulness, they go a long way in actually affecting our overall actual physical, our biological functioning, especially the brain and the nervous system. The effect of gratitude on the brain is very long-lasting. Now, gratitude and attitude are not challenges. They're choices. They're choices that we choose to make. Quoting from, it's a good Canadian source, Anne of Green Gables. Of course, it was Ella Montgomery that put this together. But Anne of Green Gables said it like this: I'm so glad I live in a world where there are Octobers. And I thought, yeah, that sounds just like her, right? But she had that, and I'll use the term, that romanticizing of everything. It was a bit dramatized, or shall we say, over the top. But on the other hand, to be thankful that there are Octobers. And if you've noticed lately, everything from the northern lights lately to the color of the leaves and the trees have been quite phenomenal this year. And so thankful for that there are Octobers. Someone else put it this way, that some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns. I'm thankful that thorns have roses. And... looking at the blessings that is there. What else would you do with that thorny stick? Well, it's got a beautiful rose on the end of it. And what a blessing they are. In the last several decades, though, there's been an abundance of research into how gratitude affects the brain and the nervous system. That gratitude actually releases toxic emotions. It reduces pain. It improves sleep quality. It aids in stress regulation and reduces anxiety and depression. The Mindfulness Awareness Research Center out of California stated that Gratitude does change the neural structures in the brain and makes us feel happier and more content. However, I do not need a university study or research to know about the benefits of a thankful heart. The book of Psalms, which speaks more about thankfulness and praise than any other book of the Bible, was written 3,000 years ago. So science and research are just catching up. We know what it does. I was also doing some reading about gratitude. There are a lot of quotes I found online. There are a lot of quotes that come from psychologists. And I thought, well, you don't need a degree in psychology to understand the effect of gratitude, that's for sure. And what they would do in a lot of these articles, they would list ways to be grateful or ways to give thanks. And one such psychologist had on their blog or whatever it was, they had 7 ways to be thankful. And the first 6 were pretty obvious. You know, you're just kind of looking around, you're looking at your life, you're being thankful for the things that you have. It was pretty normal. But number 7 was this, and they said to fake thankfulness. I said, somebody ought to take your degree away. Fake thankfulness. I'm going to say to you this morning, don't you dare fake it. Right here. Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The rest of the sentence says, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, we live in a world today where I don't really understand forever. I can understand for a lifetime. So we have some lifelong relationships and wonderful things in our lives. But God's mercy is forever. The Lord is good. And we have to give thanks to him, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We will never, ever, ever have a reason to fake it. I thought, what a shame. I thought, somebody is going to read that and go, yeah, that's what I need to do at Thanksgiving. I need to fake it. No, you don't. We want real Christians living real lives, being really thankful. And you don't really have to work at it. Something God has given us. Here in Psalm 105, in the first 5 verses, we are encouraged to give thanks to the Lord. We got instruction. Then the remainder of the chapter gives a history lesson from Israel as a nation, kind of an overview to cause thankfulness. And the, of course, the examples are there historically for the people of Israel. But first of all, we find that we are encouraged to give thanks, and he instructs us in that. And what are the ways that we do this? We notice some things here in these first 4 or 5 verses here. And he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And I believe one of the first thing God wants us to do is to exalt God's name. You ever notice that even in a lot of the hymns that we sing, it talks about God's name, precious name. Oh, how sweet. We talk about the wonderful name of God. It's very important that God's name is important. He says, give thanks. He says unto Lord, call upon his name. And it's very, very important. One person I was reading about, they put together a list of 102 names of God in the Bible. They actually had a reference for every single one of them. I said, oh, I got to print this. I got to have this. This is awesome. But to look at that, a little while ago, I was talking to someone about the Lord, and I gave them a gospel tract, and I don't know where, just out of the blue, when I mentioned about God, and they said, oh, but his name is Jehovah. And they didn't want anything to do with that gospel tract. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. They were trying to throw up some smokescreen, and I just ignored it and carried on. I thought, yeah, that's one of his names. But what do those names show us about God? They show us his character. They show us his holiness. They show us his love. And they show us his grace. Time after time after time, we look at those names and we look at the name of God and how important it is, and it shows us who he is. We're living in a world today, though, what do they do with the name of God? They trample on it. They basically spit on it. They use it in blasphemous ways. They take it in vain. They mock it, they scorn it, and so it's up to us to exalt it and to raise it up to the position where it belongs to in our lives to be able to say, this is the name of my God. and how great he truly is. He shows us there in verse number one, he says to call upon his name. And we've noticed this before. We, and Christ instructed that as well, that when we pray, he says to ask things in his name. We often pray in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we're coming in his authority. We're not coming because of who we are. We're coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died upon the cross for us, the one who shed his blood, the one that wore the crown of thorns, had the nails pierced through his hands, and he is the one that we're calling upon his name to take us into the presence of God and to have our needs met. Call upon his name. He says in verse number three there, glory ye in his holy name. To be able to glory in his name and to be understanding as to how great this is, that we're not using his name for our own invocations or as people do today. And they, I don't know why they use God's name so often. They're not using the names of other gods. I've yet to hear anybody use a god of something else and swear in that name. I never heard anybody use the name of Buddha. Or any other god for that matter. So it tells me something. There's power in that name. Like none other. But will there be misuse? Yes, there will. But let it not be named amongst his people. Let us raise up his name and exalt him for whom he truly is. And like I've mentioned, around here there's just a lot of giving of thanks. Here at Valley View Baptist Church, it kind of flows naturally. And that's a healthy place to be at. I hope in your home that there's a lot of giving of thanks. That just for the, shall I say, the mundane, everything, everyday things, you're being thankful. A lot of times, I remember as a child growing up, we weren't allowed to leave the table until we had said thanks for the meal to whoever had made it. Usually it was my mom, right? There was a thankfulness that was, I'll use the term, infused into us, but thankfulness is a choice. And so whether or not we keep that thankfulness going in our lives is going to be based upon our daily lives and largely based upon our walk with the Lord. Because what are we doing? We're exalting God's name. We're bringing him into this. And he is very important. Not only do we need to exalt God's name, but we find here that he says in verse number one, make known, at the end of verse number one, make known his deeds among the people. We're to express our experiences. Express our experiences. We enjoy talking about our experiences and listening to the experiences of others, don't we? Just the other night, I'll use this came about as Wednesday night. Ryan told me about a golf shot that he made. He had a bad drive and then he chipped onto the green and it went plunk right in the hole. I enjoyed listening to his experience, because I'd like to experience that myself. We enjoy our experiences, whether it's hunting or fishing stories. You know, the one that got away is always, you know, this big. But we enjoy the experiences. Those sharp shopping bargains, that what you bought at Gleaners that you got for a dollar and it's worth like $75 at the store. You know, look at the clothes I bought. You know, look at this that I bought and look at how God blessed and I was able to purchase this. And we enjoy talking about our experiences. We enjoy the bargains. We enjoy sharing life with others. What's he say here? To make known his deeds among the people. That carries over into our spiritual lives, that we enjoy talking about what God has done in our lives. Listening to someone the other day, they don't want anything to do with the Lord, but I was talking to them anyway, hoping that I have a chance to talk to them about God. And they had a very blessed life, but they didn't refer to it that way. They just said, I am such a lucky person. I think I'm the luckiest person in the world. Don't call me lucky, call me blessed. This life of mine is no chance success. Jesus is my happiness. Don't call me lucky, call me blessed. And you'll find that when in your normal everyday speech, you change from lucky to blessed, it triggers something in people's minds. And you'll actually have opportunities to witness for him because you change your language and because you're making known his deeds. We're not lucky, we're blessed. And that leads us to being blessed by whom? Blessed by the Lord. And it just leads into that. That we're supposed to make known his deeds among the people, and we can do that in so many different ways in giving the glory back to God. This is what I've been blessed with. This is what God has brought into my life. This is how he has done this. Also there he says, talk ye of all his wondrous works there. At the end of verse number 2, he says this, talk ye of all his wondrous works. And again, I would say this is another purpose of the local church. Where do we share some of our greatest blessings is when we come to church. This is what God has done. This is how I've been blessed. Here has been an answer to prayer. What are we doing? We're talking now about his wondrous works. And it's one of those things that is such a blessing in church, and you need that church family to share those things with. Hopefully it'll be in your home and going through your life, but it's also going to be part of your church family. Sharing those things. So we find it's very important that we exalt God's name. Also, he says, I want you to express your experiences, because our experiences have been given to us by the Lord. And then he says in verse number 2, he says, I want you to elevate your voice in song. I want you to elevate your voice. He says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. And we notice here he says, unto God, and this indicates God honoring music. I want to say very clearly, music is neither neutral nor amoral. Amoral meaning that it has no morals. Music is not neutral because music is made up of words. And our language is not neutral. It's very important that we use our language for the Lord. I'm not lucky, I'm blessed. Thus, we use our music for the Lord. Someone's probably going to come along and tell you it doesn't matter what kind of music you listen to, as long as they throw in a few Jesus words or Bible words once in a while, and that'll be okay. That's not true. Your music is very important in your life because music is not neutral, and it carries morality. It carries what you think. We know in the past that music has shaped generations of people. You don't have to be a historian to have figured that one out. It's very, very important. So the music, the songs that we sung this morning, I didn't just, let's just sing something, so I'll pick some songs. No, I prayed and I said, Lord, what songs do you want us to sing? And I'm looking at Thanksgiving. I'm looking at where we're at and what is the thrust of what it is we're doing. Why? Because the music that we sing is very important. Many of these hymns in this hymnal that we have, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of those in specific tonight after dinner. I want to look at just a couple of hymns there. I think it'll be a blessing to you. What a amazing way that so many of these songs have come to us. Many of the songs have come to us at a great price. Great price. That song, It Is Well With My Soul, was written after a man lost 4 of his daughters to a sunken ship at sea. But what a beautiful hymn. Amazing Grace came from a man who was a converted slave trader, became a preacher. And God gave him that song. And we find so many ways. Your music is very important. To lift your voice in song, he says, it has to be honoring to the Lord. And I believe when we look at this, it means a heart and a mind full of songs. I have to confess, Wednesday night, I heard that song that we heard sung for us this morning. I heard it being practiced Wednesday night after Bible study as they were preparing for today. And I just went out of here on Wednesday night after Bible study, and it got trapped. Yep, it was on a loop. And I was driving down the road thinking any moment I'm going to get pulled over for going too fast, you know, because I've just got this song and it's just reverberating in my heart and in my mind. And it's amazing that God wants our hearts and our minds full of songs and full of music. A lot of times, even as we start our opening here on Sunday morning, we're singing scripture songs. Why? So those scripture songs, they get in us, and then the Holy Spirit's going to bring them back, and that's just going to rattle around in our little old brains and into our hearts. What a blessing. Also, I believe it talks about learning to sing. Sometimes people will say, well, I can't sing. It's no excuse. We learn. We learn to sing. How many of you coming to Valley View Baptist Church can say in your lifetime you've learned at least one new song? Yeah, I would say you probably learned a whole lot more than one. Okay. Why? Because God wants us to learn. When we're somebody once said, when we're done learning, we're done living, right? So life is about learning. So you say, wow, where did that song come from? Just listen to it and learn it. I mean, most of the hymns we have in the hymnal, they're not too terribly difficult once you listen to it for a little while and you allow that. And someone might say, well, I don't have the ability to sing. You let God put that song in your heart. As we often have said before, you sing by letter. I just open up and let her fly. And God puts a song in there. Okay. And let her be. So elevate your voice in song. This is a part of how we give thanks and how we praise the Lord. And then he says in verse number 4, he gives us one more thing here when he encourages us to give thanks, and that's to exert yourself to seek the ways of God. To exert yourself to seek the ways of God. He says in verse number 4, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. You ever been looking for something, couldn't find it? How do you go about looking for it? You have to exert yourself. Actually, I had it this morning. Something that I had misplaced, and I had to exert myself to go get it. I actually had to get in my car and drive away from my house to go find it. I couldn't just say, well, I hope it turns up sometime, you know. No, he says when we're seeking the Lord, we exert ourselves. Not, well, I hope God answers this prayer, or I hope that, you know, he does it. No, we're exerting ourselves to seek the ways of God and the things of God. This has to be an exertion on our part. There has to be a desire in our hearts. Because this is the type of Christian life that he wants us to live. He says to seek the Lord. It says there, he says to seek the Lord and his strength. What is this? His strength is for my needs. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says there, good verse if you haven't memorized it. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to call upon him because he wants to answer and he wants to show us great and mighty things. He said, I never thought God would answer like that. And that's exactly what he wants to do in our lives. Sometimes we say, you wouldn't believe it how God answered. I say, yes, I would. Because I know what God can do. A little bit. Because he can do far greater than what I can imagine. But call upon him. Exert yourself, looking for his strength for your needs. We have a God that's able, and we have a God who wants to meet the needs of his people. He's not sitting back saying, oh, here they come again. No, it's like, here they come again. They're asking again. What you have is not redundant to the Lord. He desires to meet your needs. Not only his strength for my needs, but his face, he says there in verse number 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Why do we seek his face? That's for my worship. That's for my worship. You're there in Psalm 105. Turn back to chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95 and verse number 6, if you would with me. He wants us to seek his face. He's not talking about seeking his hand. There is a time of seeking his hand. That's for our need again. But he says, I want you to seek my face. I want you to get to know me. When you talk to a person, where do you usually look at them? You don't look at their shoes. Oh, hi, how are you? You know, they're like, oh, hi, it's good to see you today. I'm glad you're doing fine. No, what are we doing when we talk to somebody? We want to see their face. We want to look them in the face. We want to look them in the eye. And that's what God says. When you come into my presence, he says, you come to seek my face. You come to look at me. Why is it that people avoid someone's face? Why is it they don't want to look at them? There's guilt. There's not a right relationship with them. They're not feeling very good at seeing that person. You may have seen someone, they walking down the street and they see someone walking toward them. And we've heard the story where they walk on the other side of the street. Because they've got an issue. God says, when you come to me, he says, I want you to seek my face. I don't want you to avoid me. I don't want you to walk away. I want you to seek my face. Here in Psalm 95 and verse number 6, he says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. So I want you to come into my presence. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to get to know me. Think about this. The creator of the universe. The one that hung those northern lights that some of you have seen. He wants you to come into his presence. The one who sent his son to die upon the cross wants you to come into his presence. Spend time with him. How can we not be thankful? So he gives us an encouragement here to give thanks. The latter part of this chapter, just to summarize it, are examples from history that God remembered his covenant with Abraham. He then sent his servant Joseph into Egypt. And eventually they were hated by their enemies. And then God sent his servant Moses, brought them out of the land of Egypt. He mentioned some of the plagues that were there. Doesn't go through them all. And then God led his people in the wilderness. He brought them out with a high hand. And then God remembered his holy promise as he brought them into the promised land. So he wrapped up their history. When you look at what God has done in your life, and our histories are going to be different. I don't have Israel's history. But I can step back, and by the grace of God and all by his bounty, I should be able to step back and look at how he has affected my life in my history. That I don't have to, especially for young people today, you're not riding on mama and dada. You've got to have a real faith of your own. And you got to look and be able to say, this is what God has done in my life where I live. And everyone has to step back and see a God who has worked in their lives and how he has orchestrated. Because he could have cut you off and sent you into eternity a long time ago, a long time before you could have ever even have turned to him. And he is a God of mercy forever. That is our God. In verse 45 of Psalm 105, he wraps it up and says that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. History lesson would lead them into obedience with God. May I encourage you to keep giving thanks. Although things are not perfect because of trial or pain, continue in thanksgiving. Do not begin to blame. Even when the times are hard, fierce winds are bound to blow, God is forever able. Hold on to what you know. Imagine life without his love, joy would cease to be. Keep thanking him for all the things love imparts to thee. Move out of camp complaining. No weapon that is known on earth can yield the power praise can do alone. Quit looking at the future. Redeem the time at hand. Start every day with worship. To thank is a command. Until we see him coming, victorious in the sky, we'll run the race with gratitude, exalting God Most High. Yes, there'll be good times, and yes, some will be bad, but Zion waits in glory where none are ever sad. I encourage you to keep being thankful. May I also, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, the greatest thing is invite you to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a day when I put my faith and trust in him. And as that song we heard sung today is in a moment of time. He changed me, saved me, and removed the guilt. Ask you this morning, is he your Savior? Without him as your Savior, your thanks will be only temporal. You need him eternally. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession of our sin, a confession of who Jesus Christ is, in order to come unto such a blessed Savior. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Let us have prayer. My Father, I thank you again for your word, and how it opens up to us, and we're able to see some of these things and what you want us to learn from you. And I pray that this would be an encouraging time to give thanks to you, that we would exalt your name and learn how to express ourselves properly for your sake, that you would lead us and teach us and guide us. It doesn't mean that all in life is not difficult or that everything is easy, but we thank you that we have a great God to take our trials and our burdens unto. And perhaps there are some hurting hearts this morning saying, oh, I want to give thanks, but it hurts so bad. I pray you would help such a one. that you would give comfort. And your Holy Spirit would come alongside such a one and encourage them and take their burden and help them through the trial. Lord, I'm sure there are needs that no one knows anything about here today. I pray you would meet those needs, that you would bring exactly what is needed there, and that we would continue to praise you and be thankful unto you. For anyone today who does not know you as Savior, I pray you would help them to look unto you. They would take time on this Thanksgiving weekend, not to just rush around, but that they would take time to find out exactly how they can put their faith and trust in you. If there's anyone teetering on that decision here today. And then again, Lord, you'd fill our hearts with gratitude. So it would just bubble out. Not foolishly or dramatically that would have to be the way, but that it would just be done out of a pure heart with real joy. That you would take care of your people. For I ask this all in Jesus' name. And amen.